Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery Channel.
Hiya there, it's Garbled Twistery, and what are we in the middle of sorting out? Why, we're sorting out the potential candidates for the vice principal position in the 1824 U.S. election. And this next man is starting to look like one of those newfangled YouTube sensations. Yes, I am talking about Martini Van Berlini. So, how about we take a good gander at this budding flower? Martini Van Berlini was born in the town of Kinder Egg, New York, like 20 miles away from the capital. Interestingly, his ancestors weren't just straight-up run-of-the-mill tea sippers. However, he did end up legally being considered a tea sipper because he was growing up during that big fat U.S. temper tantrum and France shenanigans and stuff. But yeah, actually, Martini was a Dutch boy, and his dad's name was Abraham, LMAO. And Daddy Abraham? Yeah, he was like one of those crazy New England patriots. That's right, he was straight up in this thing to win this thing. And of course, he would be a Democrat Republican later. So he moves in to Kinder Egg and marries a gal named Marini Helene Von Alini, also from Neverland. But yeah, she already had three kids going into this from her first marriage to Johannes. And our dude, Martini, shows up as one of the five kids from this new marriage. Around the house, Martini would always be speaking Dutch, and that tea sipper speech was a language that was a second language kind of situation. But yeah, Martini was a public school kid, you know? You could catch him at the local schoolhouse, and for a little bit, he studied some fancy pants Latin at the local fancy pants Kinder Egg Academy. After all that mostly basic schooling, he started studying lawyer stuff with some Federalist Poindexter named Pete Sylvester. Martini would also hang out at the hotel his dad owned, and this would give him a lot of street smarts you need to deal with all kinds of people. Mm-hmm. Martini Berlini was a stubby, stubby little man, and everybody playfully called him Little Tonka Truck because of it. Fun fact, when Martini was beginning to learn lawyer stuff, he showed up looking too much like a salt of the earth poor person, and the Sylvesters straight up schooled him about how lawyers aren't supposed to wear burlap sacks. Martini Berlini immediately took that advice and started dressing like the Poindexter Sylvesters did. Anyways, politically, Martini pretty much was a Democrat Republican the same way Daddy Abraham was. This was true even though his lawyer teachers were Federalists through and through. And the Poindexters, knowing this, figured Martini was gonna need a whole new lawyer teacher that would, like, agree with Martini more often. So, for his last year of training, he made this whole pilgrimage to NYC so he could study with Ness from Earthbound's lawyer brother. You know, one of Aaron Captain Cold's people. And, of course, this was freaking life-changing for Martini, because New York politics is just on a whole other level. He got to watch that cold, cold errand boy through all his crazy New York shenanigan battles against Jorge Clinton. Yeah, remember him? Martini was there for that. So, yeah. After that, Martini successfully did the New York limbo and went back home to his Kinder Egg. Now that all that hard work is done, Martini decided he ought to get his love life together by traveling into the Catskills and marrying some girl named Hannah Ho, a childhood sweetheart who also happened to be his first cousin's daughter, because it'd be like that sometimes. She was also a Dutch New Yorker who spoke Dutch in the house, but she spoke tea sipper with a strong accent. As for children, they had five: Abraham, Johnny, Junior Martini, Smithers, and Winfield, but that one didn't live for a single year. Then Hannah Ho got that crazy disease where you start bleeding from your eyes and she straight up died. Of course Martini didn't remarry because he ain't in the marriage game for the dollar bills, okay? But enough of that personal stuff. Let's talk politics. Where did Martini Berlini get his start? Well, it all started when Martini moved back to the Kinder Egg and started making money with his half-brother doing lawyer stuff. Now, finally, he has enough money to get into his political fang, you know? Martini was always interested in the political hullabaloo, attending Democrat-Republicans and whatnot. He even helped one of his mentors get a whole Congress seat back when he was a young Padawan lawyer. So yeah, Martini, being a big lawyer man now, decided he wasn't about Aaron Burr's shtick anymore, and now he's taking the DeWitty Clintoni angle on politics. And be that as it may, the DeWitty angle was crushing the political sphere during the 1808 election, so naturally, Martini lands himself a fancy job in a cute little courtroom in Columbiana, New York. He ended up moving the whole family there, actually, because he liked politics that much over in Columbiana. What about his law offices, you ask? Business was booming. The dude was so good, he was traveling all over the state doing lawyer stuff. 1812 comes around, and everybody is loving Martini Berlini. The man is in fashion, and he ends up in the New York Senate. And you know, there was a group of Democrat Republicans that didn't like his guts, including the brother of one of his mentors, but he still won that seat. When the second Great American Temper Tantrum came about, and Jorge Clinton was trying his darndest to win the Iron Throne, Martini straight up betrayed Mr. Clinton because he thought that man was getting too soft and acted too much like a Federalist. I know, the savagery is real. Anyways, while this crazy war was raging, Martini was working with DeWitty, Mr. Tompkins, and some dude named Amber Spectacles to help Billy Madison just deal with the war or whatever. Here's a story for you. Some dude named Billy Howe literally gave away Detroit during the war, and Martini had to be the freaking prosecutor so this man could become human. Martini also worked with some dude named Winifred Toilet Paper to reorganize the New York militia, because let me tell you, it was needed. But the thing is, they had so much fun doing that Martini ended up naming one of his kids after the toilet paper man. Even funnier is that none of that hard work even came to use because the war ended so abruptly. But everybody liked how much work he was putting in anyways, so he ended up being a general attorney for like the whole state. And obviously, with that promotion, he has to move to the capital and become business partners with Benjamin Button, obviously. Martini's roommate was a skinny kangaroo named Roger, but he eventually felt like getting that state senate seat back, and of course he did, because everybody loves a martini. Oh, and also, he was a hotshot prosecutor in like the first ever case where someone got paid to commit murder in New York, because this martini is just too strong sometimes. Anyways, 1817 comes around, and Martini's buddy, Mr. Tompkins, has landed that VP gig. So now Martini's trying to get his bro, Billy Bell Peppa, to be the New York governor man. But of course that's not gonna work out, because everybody already knows what Jorge Clinton is all about. So of course that man's gonna be the New York governor. It's his shtick. But yeah, as we know, Jorge was talking big about this earwax canal, and a lot of Martini's friends were not about it. But Martini himself, he didn't think the idea was half bad, to be honest. And let's be honest, if Martini didn't think it was a good idea, there wouldn't be an earwax canal right now. But don't get me wrong, the dude still hated Jorge Clinton. He even led this little posse that was created specifically to talk trash about the man. They were called the Bucktails. Woo! We rely on your patronage, Bucktails. Woo! Take control of the newspapers, Bucktails. Woo! Yeah, Martini and his bucktails created this freaking gang called the Holy Alliance or the Albany Kings, whatever. They had many names. And it was a political machine that was just taking over New York. I mean, at the core, it was just a bunch of farmers. But the Tam Tam machine down in the Big Apple had some straight up connections too. And let's be honest here, Martini Berlini was running that outfit too. And Martini Man's massive cult got even more powerful because all the white men were arbitrarily allowed to vote in New York circa 1821. That means even more farmers are joining the freaking Tam Tam machine. I mean, sure, Jorge Clinton was still the governor, but by 1820, Martini was the boss man of these New York Democrat Republicans. It's interesting that this happened to be the case, though, because when New York was having their 1820 Constituticon, Martini liked the idea of expanding voting, but actually thought letting non-landowners have a say was, going too far. So much for the party serving the people, am I right? So, I've been talking a lot about the politics of the Martini, but if you haven't noticed, I've only been talking about his mafia boss New York presence. What about the national stage? What about big boy Congress? Well, in 1821, the New Yorkers tossed a Martini Berlini into the big boy Senate. And of course, he showed up under the radar while everybody was feeling good about the current era like a mafia boss would. And let me tell you, Martini quickly adapted on the national stage. No, really. This dude was friends with freaking Billy Crawfish, who was literally in charge of the nation's money at the time. And Martini was always researching the news and talking about his opinions like nonstop. I mean, he wasn't the best talker, but he always had something to say, you know? And even though he was both a dad and the political mob boss of New York, he still somehow found the time to do his national legislative homework. He literally led the money committee and the judgment committee for the big boy Senate at the same time. This dude was putting in so much freaking work that people were calling him the little magician. This Martini was pulling so many strings that problems were magically being solved behind everybody's back. So yeah, of course he's a vice principal candle date for 1824. The real question is, who is this man gonna choose to follow into vice presidential unadulterated glory? I don't know. Judging from his story and this year's options, it's looking mighty obvious, but I'm gonna still save the answer for later, cause patience, that's a virtue. If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, insulting the wildlife, you can find Garbled Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbledtwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbledtwistery.net. Also, I have Patreon, so if you go to patreon.com and find Garbled Twistery, you'll gain not only the access, but the ability to determine what topics get to be Patreon exclusive bonus content, and the current bonus I'm working on is about the card games you trade and compete over. I know. So exciting. Anyways, next time, it's a new guy, and his name rhymes. Nathan Bacon, Nathan Bacon. This is gonna be fun.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
Everybody loves a martini.